Amen. Good to see you here this evening. Good to be here this evening. My wife and daughter are visiting 40th Avenue this evening. That's why they are not here. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read by Brother Molin Thompson. He read from Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The concepts that Paul sets forth in this passage are out of step with man's way of thinking. What Paul enjoins in these verses calls for a radical reorientation of one's thinking. This morning we talked to you using as the specific title of our lesson and theme of our lesson, Unthink What You Thought. We came from Isaiah chapter 55, and I want to read this passage again for reemphasis. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, rather neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Lord calls upon us to reverse our thinking, to change our minds, and to really undergo a process of mental reorientation. And this is what Paul has in mind, not in just Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21, but as we look at verses 1 and 2, we see that new thinking, different thinking, is required of those who would be followers of the Lord. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And in verse number 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In order to embrace the kind of teaching that Paul sets forth in verses 17 through 21, we have to change our way of thinking. We have to unthink some of the things that we have thought previously and things that we naturally, from a human perspective, think. The Lord's thinking is different from our thinking. In order for our thinking to be brought into alignment with His thinking, we have to undergo a renewal of our minds. Our minds have to be, in a sense, reprogrammed. And our minds are reprogrammed by the study and the inculcation of God's word into our hearts. We must weave the strands of biblical truth into the fabric of our character in order that we might engage in thinking that is consistent with God's thinking. When it comes to relating to our enemies, relating to those who would do us harm, relating to those who are antagonistic to us, we have to do some unthinking of our previous thoughts. We have to change our mindset. You see, it's natural when it comes to your enemies. It's natural to want to get even with someone who has done you evil. It's natural to want to pay back somebody that has hurt you or harmed you. And the natural human response and the natural human instinct, if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. If you do something mean to me, I'm going to respond in like manner. That kind of thinking honors the time-honored an accepted concept of retaliation. And it's just natural for us to respond that way. But if we are to be followers of Christ, if we are to please God, we have to unthink those kinds of thoughts and concepts. We have to reverse our thinking as it relates to our enemies. And sometimes it's hard to unthink what we have thought for many years. Sometimes it's very difficult for us to change our thinking and our orientation and to adopt and operate out of a different paradigm. You know, we are used to operating in a certain way, but the Lord calls for us to change our thinking. We see this very clearly in a number of places. And I'm going to come back to verses 17 through 21. But even in the book of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, especially in chapter 5, Jesus calls for some radical change of thought. He says, for instance, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's out of keeping with the thinking of the world. That's out of keeping with the thinking of men in general. He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Most men don't think like that. People usually associate meekness with weakness. But Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus further says, blessed are you when men shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's not in keeping with the way we usually think. We have to unthink what we have thought. Then in Matthew chapter 5, move down to verse number 43. Verse number 43. Unthink what you thought. Jesus says here, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's the way most people think. That's the way the natural man thinks. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But Jesus calls upon us to unthink what we've thought about relating to our enemies. He says in contrast in verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, some people say, I just can't do that. Some people say, that just goes against the grain of my principles. I am not going to hate, rather to love mine enemy. I'm not going to bless them that curse me. I'm not going to do good to them that hate me. I'm not going to pray for folk who despitefully use me. But Jesus calls for a radical change in our thinking. He mandates, in a very real sense, that we unthink what we have previously thought as it comes to relating to our enemies. I always say when it comes to our enemies, the Lord commands us to love them. And in learning how to love our enemies, sometimes God gives us brothers and sisters in the body to practice on. Because now we shouldn't be enemies. We shouldn't be antagonistic to each other in the body of Christ. Although sometimes there are Christians who are. I'm not saying any of you are, but I've been places where Christians had a very difficult time getting along with each other. I have been places where Christians have had a spirit of antagonism toward each other and have practiced vengeance on each other and have despised each other and have misused each other and have retaliated on their brothers and sisters. But Jesus calls for a radical reorientation of our thinking by the renewing of our mind. And we can renew our minds so that we can properly relate to our enemies, so we can love them. We can bless those who curse us, do good to those who hate us, pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. And of course, when he says love them, he doesn't mean that you have warm, sentimental feelings for them, that you have warm, emotional attachments to them. He's talking about the very highest kind of love. He's talking about agape love. He's saying for you to operate in the best interest of your enemies. Do that which is going to advance their good. And it really has nothing to do with your feelings of tenderness toward them. Of course, you're going to feel better about them when you treat them in keeping with the principles that Jesus and Paul set forth. Look over at Romans chapter 12 again. He says, don't repay any man evil for evil. That means your brother, your sister, your enemy, people in the body, people out of the body. He says, repay or recompense no man evil for evil. And he says in verse number 18, if it be possible, as much as lies in you or as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Our thinking should be such that we put forth every effort to get along with people. Our thinking should be such that we put forth every effort to live peaceably with all men. As much as it depends upon us. Now, you can't control the other person. You can't control the reactions of the other person. You can't control what the other person says. You can't control what the other person thinks. You can't control what the other person does. But you can control you. You can control what you say. You can control what you do. You can control the kinds of things about which you think. And you can do all that is within your poor power to live peaceably with everybody. After you've done that, you can't do anymore. You can't change anybody but yourself. But oftentimes, especially when we practice love, if we practice love and if we treat people in keeping with the principles that Paul sets forth in Romans 12, people will gradually change in response to the love that we demonstrate toward them in our lives. Paul says, dearly beloved, verse number 19, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. It is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That's a challenging concept. People just naturally tend to want to get somebody back. They naturally tend to want to repay somebody in kind. It takes a radical rethinking in order for us to accept and practice these concepts. Leave vengeance to the Lord. Let the Lord take care of your enemies for you. Insofar as punishing them or repaying them, I have a very good friend who always says, let the Lord handle your enemies. He can take care of them far better than you can. But there are some things we can do for our enemies in keeping with the biblical concept of love. And again, this is agape love. You can meet your enemy's needs. And oftentimes in meeting your enemy's needs, you can help change their attitudes and change their thinking and bring about a change in their lives, not directly, but indirectly. So Paul says, here's what you can do. Verse number 20, therefore if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. In other words, you're going to cause some shame, some embarrassment when you treat your enemy in a positive, loving way. If your enemy is hungry, you feed him. If he's thirsty, you give him drink. You're going to cause what we call the hot coals effect in his life and in his heart. And I'm sure some of you have seen this effect operate. Some of you have put in practice what Paul here teaches because you changed your thinking. You did some unthinking of what you had previously thought. This works in this particular case, and it works in a number of other ways because there are so many ways that we need to unthink what we have thought about various concepts in the scripture. But we're going to just close with this particular one, focusing on this particular one this evening. Unthink what you thought insofar as relating to your enemies is concerned. Verse 21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." That's in keeping with the thinking of the Lord, with the ways of the Lord. And remember, we need to forsake our ways. We need to abandon our thoughts and return to the Lord. And He will have mercy upon us, and He will abundantly pardon us, for our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our ways are not His ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways higher than our ways, and our thoughts than His thoughts. So God calls us to a new way of thinking and a new way of living. And this is why Paul says to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." When we have the mind of Christ, then we will think like Christ thought, and we will behave like Christ behaved. We will live like Christ lived. We will love like Christ loved because we will have engaged in unthinking what we have thought about many of the principles and concepts of life. We mentioned this morning that repentance involves unthinking what we thought or reversing our thinking about sin. Maybe you are here this evening and you're in need of repentance. Maybe you are a child of God and you have fallen by the way. Maybe you have lapsed into a state of unfaithfulness and you need to make some changes in your thinking and changes in your manner of life. The Lord tells us, "I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall perish." In Acts chapter 8, Simon the Exorcist was told, "Repent therefore of thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart be forgiven thee." If you are here and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, we pray that you'll do it through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you are here and you're not a Christian, we pray that you'll become one. In order to become a Christian, you have to change your thinking. You have to unthink some things that you have thought. Of course, you have to hear the gospel of Christ. You have to believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Change your mind towards sin. Turn away from sin and begin living for the Lord. You have to acknowledge your belief or your faith in Christ as the Son of God. And you have to submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. And the Lord promises to add you to His family, to add you to His church. And you can begin to live a brand new life. You can begin to think a brand new way, bringing your thoughts and your ways into alignment with the Lord's thoughts and the Lord's ways. And His way is the best way. His concepts are the best concepts. His way of life is better than any other. Will you embrace it tonight as we together stand and as we sing? When the Savior comes, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be